36, it can. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted to the Lord.
Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, be with us now. Open our minds to things on high. Teach us as your unspeakable love and goodness toward us. For we are as little children, helpless and almost blind. Thank you for condescending to us, for we are very needy, and we thank you for your goodness toward us. Thank you for your name. Amen. A quest for significance. It's common for people to be engaged in a personal quest to find themselves. I see this as the soul's search to discover and fulfill its purpose. By the blood of Christ, we are privileged to be children of God, that if we seek to discover and establish ourselves on any other basis, we deny God's lordship of our lives and we will be disappointed. Perhaps written by a humanist, one website describes finding ourselves as the greatest and most important adventure of our lives. It's a process that is at the root of everything we do in life. In order to be the most valuable person to the world around us, we must first know who we are, what we value, and in effect, what we have to offer the world. Here are his suggestions which focus on man's efforts. Travel to experience other people and places. Read to gain new perspectives and to benefit from the wisdom of others. Commit our thoughts to pages to gain clarity and with the help of a professional counselor. Do a self-assessment to lift our strengths, skills, interests, needs, etc. Have a mentor. Connect with family to help us see ourselves differently. Pursue education to take us beyond ourselves. Recognize and value what brings us joy. Be patient with ourselves during this process. Be flexible. Allow ourselves to make mistakes. But what I appreciate most is this one most important point. The author says we should pursue faith. We should look beyond the human realm for answers to our biggest questions. Yes, this is the most important thing. God reveals himself to man. No one really has an excuse for denying the existence of God and his sovereignty and his claim on our lives. That which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even to the eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish thought was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. So we see that God is appreciated even as man seeks to elevate himself. The theory that God is an essence pervading all nature is one of Satan's most subtle devices. It misrepresents God and is a dishonor to his greatness and majesty. These theories gratify the natural heart and give license to information, and separation from God is the result. If God is an essence pervading all nature, then he dwells in all men, and in order to attain holiness, man has only to develop the power that is within him. These theories follow to their logical conclusion, sweep away the whole Christian economy. They do away with the necessity of the atonement and make man his own savior. These theories regarding God make his word of no effect, and those who accept him are in great danger of being led finally to look upon the Bible as fiction. God being removed from his position of sovereignty, they place their dependence upon human power. the unaided human will has no real power to resist and overcome evil. Man has no barrier against sin. When once the restraints of God's word and his spirit are rejected, we know not to what depth or what foolishness men may think. The phenomenon of men feeling lost has come about because man has denied God, leaving a void in our being that can only be filled by God properly. But in his word, God reaches out to us to revive our knowledge of himself. He says, all things were made by him, and without him is not anything made that was made. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Isn't that what we're all searching for deep down? For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. To go through life in these times with that spirit, isn't that wonderful that nothing can affect our relationship with God? There are some things about ourselves that we do need to understand, however, deeper than the superficial things that were suggested. We are to compare our characters with the infallible standard of God's law. We must search the scriptures, making our attainments by the word of God. Through the grace of Christ, the highest attainments in character are possible. Every soul who comes under the influence of the Spirit of God may be transformed in mind and heart, no matter what our acquired or inherited shortcomings are. In order to understand our true condition, it is necessary to study the Bible and to watch and to pray. The apostle says, examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. We are to look to the cross of Calvary and estimate the soul by the value of the offering made on our behalf. Jesus said to all believers, you are my witnesses. We are laboring together with God. How earnestly should each of us strive to make use of every power to improve every opportunity for becoming a Christian, that we may be not slothful in business and fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And then we witness the sorrow of the prophet Jeremiah over the utter perversity of those who would have been the spiritual light of the world. His sorrow over the fate of Zion and of the people carried captive to Babylon. He bears testimony of the folly of turning from the counsels of Jehovah to human wisdom. Amid the ruin, Jeremiah could still declare, "'Tis of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed." And his constant prayer was, "Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord." And when we might hit rock bottom as a nation, as a society, or in our family, we need to remember that God is waiting to rescue us from ourselves. Before we can find pardon and peace, we must have a knowledge of ourselves that will result in contrition. The Pharisees, for example, felt no conviction of sin. The Holy Spirit did not work with them. Because the soul is encased in self-righteous armor. Only when we know ourselves to be sinners can Christ save us. for we came to heal the brokenhearted, to teach deliverance to the captive, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. But they that are whole need not take position. We must know our real condition, or we will not hear our need of Christ's help. We must understand our danger, or we will not look to safety. We must feel the pain of our wounds, or we will not desire to be cured. No man can, of himself, understand his error, for the heart will keep himself above all things, and this is the wicked. Who can know it? So it may set a poverty of soul that the heart does not seem to know it. While speaking to God about poverty of spirit, the heart will actually be swelling with it and see of its own superior humility and righteousness. In one way only can we have a true knowledge of ourselves. We must behold Christ. It is the ignorance of God that makes men so uplifted in their own righteousness. When we contemplate His purity and excellence, we shall see our own weakness and poverty and weakness. We shall see ourselves lost and hopeless, wearing garments of self-righteousness, like every other sinner. We shall see that if we are ever saved, it will not be for our own goodness, but to God and to the church. And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Lord says, only acknowledge thy iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God. Then will sprinkle clean water upon thee, and thou shalt be cleansed from all your filthiness, and from all your idols that I cleanse thee. Sanctify the lives and the holy thing. Many of the apostles and prophets ever claimed to be sinners. Men who have made the nearest to God, men who would sacrifice life itself rather than to do something wrong on purpose. Men whom God has honored with divine life and power, and we all are blessed with the same degree of it. Men whom God has honored with divine life and power have confessed the sinfulness of their nature. They have put no confidence in God, have claimed no righteousness of their own, but they have trusted entirely in the righteousness of Christ. So will it be with all who behold Christ. The nearer we come to Jesus, and the more clearly we discern the purity of His character, the more clearly shall we see the exceeding sinfulness of sin, and the less shall we feel that exalting of God. The soul will be a continual reaching out of God with a continual, earnest, heart-breaking confession of sin and humbling sacrifice before Him. That every advanced step in our Christian experience, our repentance will be done. We will know that our sufficiency is in Christ alone, and we shall make the proper confession like ours. I know that in you, that is in myself, there is no good thing. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world was crucified unto me, and I unto the world. In harmony with this experience, this is my own. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who worketh in you, both to will and to do, as his good pleasure. So when we hear the inclination, we may be reminded that God is certainly at work in the middle of the people. God does not have you fear that He will not fulfill His promises, or that He will be impatient, or that He will not be compassionate. But what you need to fear is that you shall not be held in subjection to Christ's will, lest the hereditary and cultivated faith of character shall control your life. To because God is willing to do all these good things. Fear lets yourself but interpose between the sword and the great master of it. Fear lets self will but by the high purpose that God desires for us. Fear to trust to your own strength. Fear to withdraw your hand from the hand of Christ. We need to turn everything that would encourage pride and self-sufficiency. For example, we should beware of giving or receiving flattery or praise from others. Look at Satan's work to flattery. He deals in flattery as well as in accusation and condemnation. Those who give praise to men are being used by Satan. Let workers of Christ direct every word of praise away from themselves. Let self be put out of sight. Christ alone is to be trusted. And begin to love us and wash us from our sins and the whole Christ. Let every heart be corrected and praise from every heart of God. The life in which the fear of the Lord is cherished will not be a life of sadness and gloom. It is the absence of Christ that makes the continent sad. And Christ has no limit of sorrow. Those who are filled with self-esteem and self-love do not feel the need of a living personal union with Christ. The heart that has not fallen on the rock is proud of its fairness and perfection. Self-love, love of popularity, love of praise, exclude the Savior from our hearts, and what we learn is gloom and sadness. But Christ's love in the soul is a lasting power. For this saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. With him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite saint. No, there is nothing that the world has to offer. All honor and glory is due to our King, who has made the reason for us to be with him. And in that heavenly place, we will have all eternity to explore all the riches of what he has provided for us through our blessed kingdom. It is through prayer that we have the privilege of receiving life eternal, that many of us have the privilege to keep. There is no greater love. Do you feel that it is too great a sacrifice to yield all to Christ? Ask yourself, what has Christ given for me? The Son of God gave all. He gave life and love and suffering for our redemption. And can it be that we become worthy objects of so great love, worthy souls of all hearts from him? Every moment of our lives, we have been partakers of the blessings of his grace. And so we cannot fully realize the depth of ignorance and misery from which we have been saved. Can we look upon him whom our sins have pierced, and yet disregard all his love and sacrifice? How ungrateful we are, how misled we have been. In view of the infinite humiliation of the Lord of glory, shall we learn to cause peace and enter into life only through constant and steadfast supernatural fellowship? The proud heart asks, "Father, do I have to give penitence and humiliation before I can have the assurance that my existence is God?" I can't do two things. He was born. And more than this, he was the Prince of Heaven. But a man speaks out to you saying sin for the day. He dismembered his transgressions, and he bare the sins of men, and made intercession for the transgressors. But what do we give up when we give all to Christ? Our sins were really hard for Jesus to purify, to cleanse by his own blood, and to save from his matchless love. And yet now, he decides to give up all. And the sins, he is for the man, he turns to love. God does not require us to give up anything that is so powerful to do. And everything that He does, He has the well-being of His children in mind. Would it be that everyone who has not chosen Christ might be able to give up something vastly better to offer them a good day from their limited vision? Man is doing the greatest thing he has intended to be on his way, and he thinks he has contrary to the will of God. And no real soul can be found in the path forgiven by him who knows who he is and who plans for the good of his people. The Catholic confession is the Catholic usual introduction. The fact that he would rather go the wrong way is an indication of our grand condition. Besides our feeling that we are elevating ourselves to the rest of our independence, being in the habit of living our lives according to our own limited vision, we fail to realize how much of our unhappiness and problems are the result of our wrong choices. We don't learn from our mistakes, and so we tend to repeat them. Like in church, and the God who tends to his Father, a reminder of how life is meant to be. How to be there. Consider that God can learn daily with his daily beings. Every day he makes a plan to nurture a personal relationship with such a mind in sync with him who created him. Consider how everything in creation needs to be continually maintained. In fact, constantly empowered and regulated by God. Do we think that we can safely live our lives with any less of a connection to God's creation? And that we need to make Him sovereign over our lives? Please, our God, who loves us infinitely and longs for us to come back into holy relationship and communion with Him. Our so-called modern sophisticated lives, are they an improvement on what God created and declared perfect and eternal? God's name, He had a simple, straightforward existence, and He routinely took care of what was created to be our needs perfectly. Today, some people have discovered the blessing of a simple life, one that is lived in communion with their Creator, but the masses are dedicated to the ideas of the world, and to do this by the end of life. When we shall pass to the grave, we will not be able to take with us the accessories that we have thought so necessary at the time. The fact that we die is a clear evidence that we are not our own. We are not in control of ourselves. For we come into existence by the union of man and female, we themselves were created by God. And the miracle of life grows inside the woman. And then, at the end of life, the miracle power which made that life possible and sustained it is withdrawn. All these things have been at the will and are expressions of the intimate love of our unseen Heavenly Father. We are not the captors of our hope. What in heaven or earth is more important than God, who created all things? For by Him, for all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. So how does God create all these things? Thou art holy, O God, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure, O God, the world created. For Thy pleasure, Thou created us and derived pleasure from us. And we are wanted to know that. Does God need any more reason than that? It says, all things were created for Him. We were created for Him, not He for us. We are indebted to Him. He does not owe us anything. His motivation shall be saved. He should give more for us. Lord, you see our strength, guide us up to the right place. To give us what life does not come with us. Towards our fellow man, we are to owe no man anything but to love one another. And we must love us another as we serve the Lord. Consider the many things that concern happening on the world soon. Has God anticipated these things? Is he ready for them? Of course he is. And we may confidently rest in his promises. There are no other guarantees out there. Therefore, we should cast our cares upon him. Cast our burdens upon the Lord, and he shall sustain you. We shall never expect the righteous to be moved. We certainly need the Lord's hand. Long ago, God put God up to the situation, which seems so unknowable with our limited perspective. In intensity, is taking possession of the world, in amusement, in business, and the quest for power. In the very struggle for existence, there is a terrible force that captivates body, mind, and soul. In the midst of this maddening rush, God is speaking. He gives us some thought and feeling with him. He tells us, concise and powerful declaration is right to the point, establishing God's sovereign position and his power, and calling us the position as we begin. Nay, even with the devotion, they also receive the blessing of real communion with God, for they are the tenets of the faith. They make their requests to God, but do not wait for answers. They have no time to unite with the divine teacher, and so they return to work still carrying their burdens. For these can never attain the highest success until they learn the secret of faith. They must give themselves time to think, to pray, to wait upon God for the renewal of spiritual, physical, and mental power. They need the opportunity and strength that they feel. And then they will receive fresh life. The weary pain and tired brain will be refreshed, and the burden will be lifted from the heart. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. Then I will lean upon a supposed hope without a true foundation. The fountain is not failing. Therefore, it seems even from that fountain of our spirit, cleanse the fountain, and your sins will be pure. For the heart is right, your word, your gift, your hope, all will be right. Keep out and make your fountain. I did not dishonor my master by saying that a careless, trifling person who does not pray is a Christian. No, a Christian has good gifts or good gifts of heart. There is a remedy for the sins that follow. That remedy is in Jesus. He is the Savior. His grace is sufficient for the weakest, and his promise must also not be safe or prayer. We see that our darkest, the seemingly impossible times of our lives, and also the good things, we are privileged to take our position to our God and receive the consolation, the assurance, the guidance that we need. This is one invitation that we may want to turn to God. He gives us each prayer in the name of our God. This is the preparation for all waiting for God. Amidst the billion songs and the strain of life's intense activity, who is justly saved will be surrounded with an atmosphere of light and peace. He will receive both physical and mental strength, and his life will be that of patience, and will reveal divine power that will be manifest. Who will have to make our peace? All the promise of the bottom promise of God to us. You alone can see rest be found. All Thank you.